I say good morning to each and every one of you here this morning, bring you greetings this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's good to see each one of you here today. The visitors are with us. I trust you'll feel welcomed as we worship the Lord together. It is another good day to be alive, and it's a little bit cloudy today, and after Sunday school I got up and went out, got a drink, and as everybody else looked like they were feeling a little bit like I am, a little bit tired and maybe could use a nap, but so yeah, hopefully we don't all fall asleep here this morning, or I know I'm not planning to, but anyhow, yeah, so much for that. Yeah, just a good day to be alive, good day to come to the house to worship the Lord together. It's good to see each one of you here. I did appreciate the service we had so far, the songs that we sang, the Sunday school lesson, the challenge of the scripture reading here to Brother Paul, and yeah, we could just continue on with some of those thoughts as well as the Sunday school lesson, but say amen and go home. But yet again, the message this morning kind of ties in with some of that somewhat, or maybe in addition to that, not necessarily in addition, but goes along with it, probably you could say. This morning for a message, I've been feeling led the last while to maybe do another book study. It's been a number of years since I did one of them, and I was thinking about that and pondering on that, and see, I felt led to bring a series of messages through the book of Philippians. I know I did share a message or two from Philippians here within the past couple months, or within about a year ago, maybe the one was. But I guess we'll see how God leads along the way as we go through there, not wanting to double up too much on that. But the author of Philippians is obviously the Apostle Paul. It was written while Paul was in prison, which most of his letters to the churches were, which I should say most of them, I think all of them were. Is also known as one of Paul's more personal letters that he wrote to the different churches. Maybe, I think it was the one that he would have went, the area he would have went to in the beginning of his preaching ministry, but also probably one of the areas that was more open and receptive to hearing and the teaching and preaching of God's word and open and to receiving Christ. I want to read just a little bit out of the survey that's in the beginning of the book of Philippians in my Bible. It's not the whole thing, just two short little paragraphs. It says, the dominant note of this short letter is joy. This is the more remarkable in view of the fact that Paul was writing this from prison. The immediate circumstances surrounding a believer is not the factors that should determine his attitude towards life. The twin note of humility and concern for others is also very evident. In view of what Christ did, no room for pride remains in a child of God. In view of Christ's great example, his followers dare not be self-centered. Yeah, just a lot to think about as we begin our study here in the book of Philippians. We want to begin here this morning with the first chapter. The title of the message this morning, I was struggling a little bit with what the title of the message, but I just simply titled it Joy and Peace. We will see that the Apostle Paul, what he is feeling towards them, and also what we can have if we relate and do the things we'll be looking at this morning. If the community, and part of that, you know, thinking of that title, if the community of believers functions out of a heart of love, out of a heart of surrender, out of a heart of giving of ourselves in service of our time and talents of the Lord, we can have the joy and peace that we'll be noticing this morning. The text we'll be looking at this morning, we'll start there at the beginning of Philippians 1. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 11. Philippians 1, verses 1 through 11. It says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons, grace be unto you and peace from the Lord our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now, being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet or right for me to think of you all, because I have you in my hearts, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I longed after you all the bowels. Let me start verse 8 again. For God is my record, how greatly I longed after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Paul starts out here with who the letter is addressed to, and with a greeting there in verses 1 and 2. It starts out in Paul, and he includes Timothy there as well. Some would say because Timothy was still there interacting with them is why he addressed it from Timothy as well. He also recognized they were servants of Jesus Christ, and then he says who it was addressed to all the saints of Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, or to the church there at Philippi, the Philippian church. And he also includes the elders and leaders of the church. Then we see in verse 2, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Some would say today that the letters that we see that Paul wrote to the churches are maybe not relevant to us today because they were written to specific groups and have little merit for us today. But I believe that we all would believe, as it says back in 2 Timothy 3:16-18, that all scripture was given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, or fully equipped unto all good works, or fully complete. So we believe that even though these letters were written to specific church groups, that God was inspired Paul to write this, and it was also included in the scripture, the Bible that we have today. So we would say that there is a lot in these books that can be for us today as well. Throughout the book of Philippians, as I maybe mentioned a little bit before, we will see the love and joy come out many times. There's also plenty of warnings along the way. Three different parts of the message this morning. Part one is the expression of thanks. See that there in verse 3, where the Apostle Paul is saying, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Think about that for a moment. I guess I was thinking, you know, when was the last time you thanked God for someone? I was really thinking about that as I was studying this week. When is the last time you thanked God, maybe for your spouse, maybe for your parents, maybe for somebody that had a big impact in your life? Little excerpt from one of the readings that I read, it says, and he was saying it like this, I want to encourage us to consider how thankful we need to be for what others have done in our lives, whether they are our parents, our spouses, our children, our friends, our bosses and co-workers, and spiritual leaders and fellow Christians. All of us have had someone who has made an impact in our lives. You know, many of us here probably would have somebody that we look up to, maybe as a spiritual father or as a spiritual leader. Maybe it's somebody that had a great impact on our life that helped us work through something heavy in life. Or maybe it's somebody that walked beside us in a journey that was very heavy. Or maybe it's just somebody that helped encourage us along the way many times. I was just thinking about it as I was studying this week, too, that Brother Ernie was a very influential person in my life. I lost my father when I was young, didn't have a father figure in my life in my teens and growing up years. But, yeah, just I many times told Ernie, I don't know if I'd have made it into ministry if he wouldn't have been there to encourage me, and I fully believe that. But one of the things that really stood out to me was I had the privilege to talk to Brother Ernie. I think it was the morning before he died that night, and he could on the phone. He could barely talk real good anymore because he was getting short of breath. And I remember thanking him for all the time and the effort that he had put into my life and into our church. And he came back and thanked me and our congregation for the impact that we had made on him and Faye's life as well. And I guess what I'm thinking about that as I was thinking about this whole thought of thanking God for someone, or thanking God as Timothy did, or I'm sorry, the Apostle Paul is saying here, upon every remembrance of you. You know, many times as you have an impact on somebody else's life, they in turn bless you back, and you don't even really think about it or realize it many times until later in life. But I want to encourage us to thank God for those that are around us. Yeah, maybe even thank God sometimes for those that we rub shoulders with the wrong way at times, because they help us to grow and mature. They help us to understand our need for change in our lives as well. We also sense Paul's joy as well as his relationship with the church here at Philippi. You almost, you know, if he's writing this from prison and you stop and ponder just for a moment, you know, he could have been discouraged, and I'm sure there probably were times that he was. Why am I here in prison? I could be doing so much more for the Lord. But yet he was using his time wisely as he was writing these letters. And he wasn't writing these letters and saying, pray for me as I'm in these bonds, as I'm in these chains. No, he's writing these letters and saying, I'm thanking God for you. And as we go on, he'll say, every prayer of mine is made with requests of joy. He's reaching out from the adversity that he's facing and encouraging others along the way. That brings us to verse 4. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. Someone said it like this: if the church would concentrate on praying for one another and doing it with joy, we would all be a lot better off. Think about that for a moment. If the church would concentrate on praying for one another and doing it with joy, we would all be a lot better off. Thinking about praying for one another, thinking about prayer a little bit, part of the prayer that we pray is thanking God for each other. Pray that God will continue to work in us and through us. Pray that God will help us to continue to have unity and peace. Pray for faithfulness. Pray for strength. Pray for healing. Pray for strong marriages. Pray for faithfulness. I don't know how many of you, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I would encourage us to continue to pray for one another. Pray for our marriages. Pray for our families. Pray, you know, maybe somebody specifically, but also in general. You know, I think almost every day, if I'm not going to say I do this every day, but quite often I pray for the marriages in our congregation, that they would be strong and vibrant, that they would be what God has intended them to be. And, you know, I think that goes a long ways in not just helping everything to go better, but helping God to realize that we're serious about being his people. We're serious about being his children. We're serious about doing what he asks us to do. And as we see marriages crumbling and falling apart round about us, I think that becomes ever more present. I don't want to just pull out marriages, but that's just one that came to my mind. Pray for faithfulness, that we would be able to stand strong in the midst of adversity. Pray for peace and unity. I believe there are two things that will continue to hold the church together. The one obviously is love, and the other is prayer. Continue to pray for one another with joy. I want to read verse 3 and 4 and 5 all together. I believe it is all one sentence. But we see, in thinking about it in our own context here, in the life of each one of us, in the life of our church, it says, the Apostle Paul's here saying, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the beginning until now. He's saying that I continue to thank God for you. I'm continue to pray for you. I'm continue to do it with joy. I continue to remember who you are and the relationship that we had with one another. Verse 5 talks about the fellowship in the gospel. This kind of fellowship can only come through a relationship with Jesus Christ. When each one of us continue to surrender our hearts and lives to Jesus, we see here that Paul was commending them for the love they had for the things of God. The gospel, in a nutshell, is the relationship with Jesus. Jesus is the gospel. Jesus is the one who provided salvation. So the fellowship that he's talking about here is centered around the relationship with Jesus Christ. The gospel is the good news of Jesus, the story about what Jesus did for us and a changed person that we can be if we accept him as our Savior. So as we think a little bit more about that phrase, the fellowship of the gospel, The definition of fellowship is friendly association, especially with people who share the same interest. So we think about that just a little bit. We're associated together because of our connection that we have, because each of us personally have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And because of that, we can come together and serve the Lord together. Verse 6 brings out the thought that the Apostle Paul is saying, being confident that Jesus will continue to be with us the whole way along the way, which he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, I had to think a little bit about that palm of footprints in the sand. You see it many times, you know, when, and I don't have the whole thing memorized, and I don't have it along with me, but there are times when we wonder where God is at in life. You know, sometimes we face hard things, sometimes we go through hard trials, but that palm says it's in those moments when you maybe only see one set of footprints and you're wondering where God is. It's in those moments that God is actually carrying us through. So let us remember that if we feel like we're maybe distanced from God, it's not because God has walked away from us. His love is ever present. But there are times that we maybe wander or stray from him and his presence. Part two is the expression of love. See there in verse 7, even as it is meet or right for me to think of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch both in my bonds and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace, or ye are all partakers with me of grace. Paul here is expressing his close connection. The phrase, because I have you in my heart, he has a warm feeling toward them. You know, if you have a close connection from that with someone, you have a kind of a kinship, a good feeling toward them. But he here is expressing his kindness and love for them. We also see the thought that they were open to the gospel. They were willing to defend the gospel, and they also confirmed the gospel by accepting Jesus as their Savior. They were also living their lives in love for him. We can sense again Paul's deep love for the church there at Philippi in verse 7 and 8 as we read that and ponder on what he's really saying there. Verse 8 there, it says, for God is my record, or God is my witness, how greatly I longed after you in all the bowels of Christ. In other words, he's continuing. He's basically bringing out the fact that he's wishing he could be with them now. He's wishing he could be where they're with them. But he's also encouraging them to be faithful. And I had to think, you know, too, and I, you know, we don't have record of this, but I'm just going to use life as an example. You know, the Apostle Paul had went around preaching and teaching the good news of Christ, and many people came to Christ because of him. There had to be some people that wondered, why is Paul in prison, or why is he facing so much hardship? And here again, I'm not trying to put things into scripture. I'm just saying how real life is. You know, why is the Apostle Paul going into scripture? He's done so much for Christ. You know, maybe we could use the same thing. I was thinking about it a little bit with Sister Joyce. You know, why some people that have seemed to do so much for the work of Christ and his church, but yet they face some hard things at times. But along with that, you know, I don't know if any of you meet Jay, Mark, and Joyce from time to time. We don't see them as often as we used to, but any time we do, you come away encouraged. And I'm sure that's the same way it is with many people. You don't sense this downcast feeling of, why am I going through this? I'm just bringing some of this out to help us understand some of why the Apostle Paul may have been writing some of this in the way he did. It was encouraging them to not lose hope, not lose faith, but continue on in the work and the life of the church. Seen an article there while I was studying. It said, what is holding our church together? We all have a common union because of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Galatians 6:2 says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Are we willing to bear one another's burdens? Are we willing to be there? You know, how can you bear one another's burdens? I think the one way we can is to pray and to encourage and to strengthen. You know, Brother Dale, went through a lot of hard things. And Marianne, you're sitting here. You walked right beside him and right through with it. And, you know, Brother Dale is probably, and I've said this before, is definitely one of the prayer warriors of our church. And I'm sure there's others here as well. But, you know, this time Dale needed us. He was very discouraged many times. He was very, I don't know if I can say he was ready to give up, but he was not feeling the best with everything that was happening in life. I guess it's just a good, am I allowed to say it that way, Marianne? Yeah, I think that's a pretty accurate statement. So, but you know, bearing one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Along with that, I thought of a couple verses back in Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. excuse me. It's when he was asked by one of the lawyers, ask him a question. I'm going to jump it in the middle here, but I want to pull out a couple things here. It says, Master, which of the greatest commandments is in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. So we see here the greatest thing is that we shall love, in other words, have a relationship with Jesus. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. That's pretty much everything that was within us. All of our strength should be gone to loving and serving the Lord. But second, once we have that relationship, and I shouldn't say once, it's not like it's a once and done thing, but once we have that ongoing relationship, the next greatest thing is that you love your neighbor as yourself. We love our brothers and sisters. Back in Galatians, it tells us our greatest, first foremost, is to those that are believers of like precious faith that are in the church. So we need to share with one another and love one another and continue to carry one another's burdens and love and pray for one another. So what is really holding the church together? I pondered on that and thought about it and prayed about that for a while, and I've come to the conclusion that a daily obedience and surrender of each of our lives on a daily basis is what is really holding the church together. If one person chooses not to be obedient and not to surrender to their Lord in their personal lives, we can't come together and have the love and fellowship of Christ in the church. So we need a continual daily of obedience and surrender. And it's only then that we can come together collectively as a body of believers and worship together as God has intended. Part three we want to look at yet is encouragement. In the last couple verses, the Apostle Paul is encouraging us to continue on, to not lose hope, to continue on. Then in the last couple verses is encouragement. Verse 9, it says, I pray that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. You know, that your love would continue to grow. 1 Corinthians 13 is known as the love chapter in the Bible. And it says like this, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity, or love. But the greatest of these is charity, or the greatest of these is love. Because love is so important, it's something that we need to continue to develop and to grow. You know, you probably heard the statement before of the husband that told, no, let me back up. The wife that came to the husband complaining that he never said that he loved her. He said, well, I told you that 20 years ago when I married you and I never told you different, so it's still the same today. You know, she obviously she wasn't hearing it from him, and she probably wasn't feeling much love for him to be able to say that. So what am I getting at because of that? If our love is growing for one another, we will sense that. We will feel it. We will hear it from others as we go along the way. When Paul was praying that their love would continue to abound more and more, he was praying for a superabundance or a continual growing of their love. The end of the verse says, in all knowledge and in all judgment, discerning what is the best, knowing what is right and wrong, knowing what we need to do for one another. Are we drawn to that which is of value, that which is what is right? Not just what is right, but what is best and what is of value. Verse 10, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. a verse back in Ephesians 5, verse 10. It says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Are we proving or approving the things that are excellent? Are we being sincere? Are we bringing out the thought of being blameless? Are we living a life of integrity? You know, it's kind of interesting how people can pick out whether they can trust someone or not. It becomes very evident very quickly. I'm not saying this for anything. The other night, my wife and I went to get a goat from some people up toward Harrisburg. Never met them before, never heard of them before. And we took enough money along for the goat that they wanted cash, which obviously makes sense. And we took enough money along for the one that we were planning to get. While we were there, we seen a couple more we decided we would like to get. So went to a Mac machine to get some more cash out. You can only get a certain amount in a day. And we came back and said, well, we're going to have to take one less than what we were originally thinking. And, no. You could just send us a check. That would be fine, too. And, you know, these people didn't know us from Adam. They had no clue. But yet there was something. And you just pick that up with, and I'm not saying that to pat anybody on the back, myself or Lois or anybody, but you just pick that up as you interact with somebody. When somebody comes around and they're kind of shifty and they're kind of a little bit, you know, maybe nervous kind of, and not only that, you can just something you can pick up. But be people, and I guess what I'm bringing us out here, be people that are blameless. People that are with sincere, without offense, not doing things that will offend others. Verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Thinking about the fruits of righteousness, doing that which is right. Back in John 15, verses 4 and 5, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Without a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot bring the fruit that is what is being talked about here. And then verse 8 there in John 15 says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye shall bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Because of the fruit that we are bearing, because of the relationship that we have with Christ Jesus, God is being glorified, and we will be called his children or his disciples. I want to read verses 9, 10, and 11 together here. Just kind of an encouraging word to us, encouraging one another. The Apostle Paul, and I want to read this in a way of it being spoken to each one of us, which I believe it is here this morning. And it says, in this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in all knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. I have a little short story here I want to read yet at the end, thinking about how reaching out to one another in love, encouraging one another, how that can help to keep people continuing on. It's a story of a man, I don't know much about this, I just read about it, but a man by the name of Stan Cottrell runs an uncommon event called the Ultra Distance. He's clocked over 200 miles that he ran since 1955. And I'm not sure when this was written, but he set a lot of world records and received innumerable awards. In 1980, he broke the proud Guinness Trans USA record by 5 days when he ran from New York to San Francisco in just 48 days, averaging 66 miles each day. That's over two marathons a day. He had conducted what is called a friendship run in 38 plus countries. Through these friendship runs, he had tried to bring nations together in friendship and inspire others to spread the word of cheer and love. In one such run in China, for example, he covered over 2,125 miles in 53 days, averaging 40 miles a day. That's like running almost two marathons every single day for 2 months. Amazingly and agonizedly, he covered the last 1,000 miles in severe pain, taped tightly because of 2 broken vertebrae. Not surprisingly, Stan faced numerous times when the pain got so bad that he knew he had to stop. But just when he was about ready to quit, someone came running up along beside him and said, "There are many people waiting for you in the next village, and your coming will bring endless joy." Upon hearing that, Stan's spirits would soar and he would push on to the next village. Then it ended it. Oh, the power of words of appreciation, the words of love, and the words of encouragement. We all need them. Think about that in a spiritual sense. You know, there's times when we may feel like quitting or giving up, and somebody comes along beside us and cheers us on and helps us to continue on the way. We see that here as the Apostle Paul is encouraging the people there at Philippi and also us today to continue on in love, to continue to remember the work that Jesus done for us and that he will continue to perform it. He will be beside us the whole way in life. We also sense Paul's desire to be there with them and to encourage them along the way, and also praying that their love will continue to abound more and more. So I just want to encourage us, I guess, as we come to the end of this message, to continue to love one another as God intends us to love, to continue to be there for one another, continue to encourage one another, continue to remember, because of God's love that we have in our hearts, we can spread that love to those around about us. With those thoughts in mind, let us kneel for prayer.